Welcome to episode 1462 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. In the previous episode, we met Thomas before history attached the word doubting to his name. He was a careful man, a questioner who examined claims before accepting them and tested ideas before committing himself to them. Yet it was precisely that disposition that drew him to Jesus. Thomas listened to his teaching, searched for contradictions, watched him in public and in private, and spent 3 years looking for the gap between who Jesus appeared to be and who he actually was. He never found it. Instead, he discovered a man whose words, character, and conduct remained remarkably consistent under every circumstance. By the end of the episode, Thomas had reached an unsettling conclusion. Jesus might truly be exactly who he appeared to be. Then came word from Bethany. Lazarus was dying, and following Jesus would mean returning to the very place where death threatened them all. Acts of the Apostles, Part 3, Chapter 2.
There is a kind of courage that gets called faith, and a kind of faith that gets called courage. And I have spent a long time thinking about the difference. What I said that day on the road to Bethany was not faith, not yet. I did not yet know, not with the certainty I would later come to have, who Jesus was or what he was capable of. What I had was the conclusion my 3 years of examination had produced, that this man was worth following, and that following him was what the evidence demanded. And if following him meant dying, then dying was what the evidence demanded. That is not a comfortable thing to say about yourself. It sounds either braver than I was, or more fatalistic than I meant. But it is accurate. I was not performing courage. I was following a logical conclusion to its end. What I did not anticipate was what we would find when we got there.
Master, I am not sure whether you understand. Lazarus, whom you love, is sick, even unto death. Mary and Martha entreated me to ride as fast as possible to fetch you. They know you can heal him.
The message had come from Bethany. Lazarus is ill. Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha, a family Jesus loved in a particular, specific way that was different from his general love for everyone. We all knew them. We had been in that house. Bethany was 2 miles from Jerusalem. The problem was what 2 miles from Jerusalem meant. The last time we were in Judea, they had tried to stone him. Not metaphorically, actual stones picked up and hands thrown. We had left quickly. The disciples had not forgotten this, and when Jesus announced we were going back, the room did not receive this news with enthusiasm.
Rabbi, the people there were just now trying to stone you, and you want to go back?
Jesus answered in the way he often answered, with something that required a moment to unpack before you understood what he was actually saying. Something about walking in the light while there is light. Something about Lazarus sleeping, which he then had to clarify. Lazarus is dead. And then,
for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him.
For your sake, I am glad I was not there. He had delayed deliberately. He had known Lazarus would die, and he had waited. I filed this away the way I file everything, not yet knowing what to do with it, but not discarding it. The room was still processing the return to Judea announcement. The atmosphere was the atmosphere of men calculating risk, and I looked at what the calculation produced, and I looked at Jesus, and I said the thing that was simply true. Let us also go, that we may die with him. It is quoted in every account of my life, usually as evidence of my pessimism. I prefer to think of it as evidence of my precision. Martha came out to meet us before we reached the village. Mary stayed inside. That was characteristic of both of them. Martha always moving, always doing, always the first one out the door. She said what any of us would have said.
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.
Even now, even with the man 4 days in a tomb, she still had the even now, I noted that. It was a more durable faith than most people manage in better circumstances. What followed between Jesus and Martha is recorded in John's Gospel, and I will not reproduce it here at length, except to say that in the middle of it, Jesus said something that I have been turning over ever since I heard it. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection. Not, I will bring about the resurrection. Not, resurrection will come through what I do. I am it. As if the thing itself were not a future event, but a present person standing in a road outside Bethany. My examination of that statement has never been finished. I am still examining it. But on that afternoon, what came next was not time for examination. He wept. That is what stopped me. Not the statement about resurrection. I was still processing that. It was this, that a man who had just said, I am the resurrection and the life, stood in front of a tomb and wept. Not performed grief, not the public demonstration of sorrow that grief can become in communities where mourning has a form. He wept because his friend was dead, and the sisters were devastated and the weight of it reached him. I have thought about those tears many times. A God who cannot be surprised should not weep at a death he knew was coming. A God who feels nothing should not weep at all. What those tears told me was that the consistency I had observed for 3 years, the same in public and in private, the same before crowds and behind closed doors, extended all the way down into grief, into the place where grief lives. He was not performing compassion. He felt it. He asked them to take away the stone. Martha objected. 4 days, she said, the smell. He said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? They moved the stone. He looked up and prayed, briefly, almost conversationally, as if the prayer were less a request than a statement of what was already the case. And then he called in a loud voice,
Lazarus, come out!
And Lazarus came out. I want to be precise about what I observed, because precision is what I owe you. I was standing perhaps 20 feet from the entrance. I had seen the tomb sealed. I had been there when they moved the stone. I watched a man who had been dead for 4 days walk out of a rock-cut tomb with grave cloth still wrapped around him. I have no natural explanation for this. I have had decades to construct one, and I have not managed it. The usual explanations, mistaken death, mass hallucination, deliberate deception, do not survive contact with the specifics of what was in front of me. I was there. I saw it. I am not a man who accepts things without examination, and I am telling you, I have examined this as carefully as I know how to examine anything, and it holds. What I said at the outskirts of Bethany, let us also go that we may die with him, was the statement of a man who had concluded on examination that Jesus was worth dying for. What I witnessed at the tomb was something different. It was the first evidence that dying might not be, in his hands, the final word. I was not ready to name what that meant. The conclusion was too large. I needed more time with it. I got more time, and then everything accelerated.
Thomas went to Bethany prepared to die with Jesus. He left having witnessed Jesus call a dead man back to life. Somewhere between those two moments, the boundaries of what Thomas believed possible began to expand. The man he had already concluded was worth dying for now stood before a tomb and demonstrated that death itself was subject to his voice. Yet perhaps the most revealing moment came before the miracle. Jesus wept. The one who knew Lazarus would live again still entered fully into the sorrow of those who mourned. That tells us something essential about the God we worship. Faith does not require us to pretend that death does not hurt, because resurrection is coming. Hope does not cancel grief. Jesus can know how the story ends and still weep in the middle of it. He is not distant from our suffering, impatient with our tears, or untouched by the things that break our hearts. There will be moments when, like Thomas, we cannot yet understand the full meaning of what God is doing. We may stand before circumstances that seem final, carrying questions too large to answer. But Bethany invites us to remember what Thomas saw. The Jesus who weeps beside us is also the Jesus who stands before the tomb. Compassion and power reside in the same person. And when everything we can see tells us that the story is over, Christ still has the authority to speak another word. To be continued.